Well, it's great to be able to share God's word with you this morning. The title of my message is Wake Up and Live Carefully. Wake up and live carefully. God is a speaking God. He always loves to speak, especially to his children. And he has a message for us. He has a message for each one of us. Samuel says three times he had to say, Lord, your servant is hearing. And it's because we're not always good at hearing God, are we? Would you mind we just take 30 seconds and ask God individually, each one of us, say, God, do you want God to speak to you? Say, God, speak to me this morning. Let's do that. Thank you, Father. Tell him that you want him to speak to you, to touch you, to change you. Thank you for your presence, Lord. We just acknowledge your presence here, Lord Jesus. Thank you that you are in the midst of your people. We adore you. We give you the praise. We give you the glory. We just want you, Lord, to speak with power. We want you to speak with grace and love in every way that you want to. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Someone said it's not the ship in the water that sinks it, but the water in the ship. It is not us being in the world that drowns us. It's the world being in us. And Paul is speaking to that sort of background, a background where the world, sinfulness, the challenges of being led astray from God and led into the worldly ways. And to this he says, wake up and live carefully. You see, Paul started this church in Ephesus on his way home during the second missionary journey. And then he went back on the third missionary journey and preached and taught there for 3 years. He taught for 3 years. And he wrote this letter, which we have, to this while he was in imprisonment in Rome. Paul, in the first three chapters, he deals mainly with doctrine of the church. And then the last three chapters, he gets very practical and begins to speak to them about walking in a way that is fitting for a follower of Christ. In this passage we heard, there's two things I'd like to concentrate on that Paul is calling them to do and he's calling us to do this morning. I believe the voice of God is always fresh when we open our hearts and ears to hear it. What would we have us to do this morning, Lord? What would you want to say to us? Well, the first thing that Paul says, wake up, you who are asleep. Maybe some of you are still asleep, physical sleepness. But that's not what he's saying here. It's to do with a spiritual sleep. Wake up, you who are asleep. In verse 14, arise from the dead and Christ will shine in you or on you. You see, many of these Christians in Ephesus were supposed to know Jesus and follow Jesus. But instead of being alive to Christ, they were asleep or dead, in a sense, in their old lifestyle. They were still living as if they were unbelievers. They are still bound by old habits and achieving nothing, like a person who is always in a deep sleep. And you know, there's nothing more frustrating for a mom who has to wake up her son, say, Johnny, get up, darling. You've got to get up. It's 9 o'clock, Johnny. Please, get up, darling. Well, the problem, Johnny is still not getting up, and Johnny is her husband. He's supposed to go to work. And Paul is saying in an even greater manner, he's saying there is a danger all around you, my friends. There is danger all around you. And you are asleep. It's like in the midst of war, and the enemy is about to attack, and you're fast asleep. He says, wake up. Wake up. In chapter 2, Paul says, you used to be dead in your sin, constantly obeying the lust of your sinful nature. But when you believed in Jesus, he made you alive with him. So why are you living among the dead? He says, get up from there and start reflecting the light of Christ. Because when you start to obey Christ and when you follow Christ, his light shines in you and through you. Do you remember when a very good friend of Jesus, Lazarus, died? Well, Jesus had them roll the stone away and he called out, Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus did come out of the tomb with his hands, feet and neck wrapped in grave clothes. Then Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Now, when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, Lazarus didn't stay in the grave, did he? He got out. He was no longer dead. He was alive now. And he did not stay in the tomb, nor did he stay having these clothes of a dead man. He would have found it very difficult to move around and to live life normally with them still on. Now, in a similar way, when you believed in Jesus, he resurrected you from your old life, from the grave, from death. He resurrected you. Why are you still going back to that grave? Why do you still have some of those clothes on you which bind you from being free in God, from achieving all the fullness that he has for you, of knowing and growing in his love, of experiencing his joy and his peace? In John 8:12, and Ange mentioned, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness. How can you follow the light and be in darkness? He says, when you follow me, darkness has to go. That's the answer. Follow me. Stay close to me. Abide in me. Walk with me. Talk with me. And you will abide in the light. In the light of life. So do not stay in that state, Paul says. Wake up. Friends, there is a sleep. There is a cloud. There is some sort of a thing that comes upon us at times, and we need to shake it off like shackles. We need to get it off. There are things that try to entangle us and that cause us to shy away from the Lord, to shy away from serving him, shy away from fellowshipping, shy away from growing. Those things we need to say, that's enough. It's enough. Wake up. Wake up. Don't be asleep. Don't let the cloud of sleepness, lethargic, don't be under those things. Wake up. Secondly, he says, be careful how you live. Not only wake up, but be careful how you live. Verse 15. It says, be careful how you live. Be exact. In other words, live with exactness. Watch each step. Do not just stumble through life, but walk with purpose. Let your steps be ordered by God and by his word, by his standard. Do not get sidetracked, but live diligently and stay on track. Mate, those guys at the Olympic. By the way, Lebanon's in the Olympic, in the Beijing Olympic, but you didn't see them. They're in the high jumps, because in Lebanon, there's bombs all the time, and we've learned how to jump. But the guys in the Olympics, don't they focus? Don't they need to stay on track? Can they afford to do anything else but focus and be careful and be exact in what they do? Friends, we are in a greater thing than the Olympics. Greater than this gold medal. Gold lives are at stake. Lives are at stake.
we need to live carefully. It's not just about me. My life influences and your life influences hundreds and thousands of people around you. We've got to be careful how we live. I like to say it in this way, and don't mind me, I'm going to say it in a rough way of what Paul is trying to say. In a little summary, he says, you're not careful in living for Jesus. If he was sitting with me and having a coffee, he would say this to me. Millard, you're not careful in living for Jesus the way you should. Sometimes you are foolish instead of being wise. You waste your life on things that don't matter instead of redeeming it. You're doing your own will many times instead of God's will. You're under the influence of this world and what they think and what they believe in, instead of being under the influence of my Spirit and my Word. Wake up, Millard. Wake up, my dear friends, and live carefully. Wake up and live carefully. And then he goes on to give us four things to do in order to live carefully. Number one, let's look at them quickly. Number one, he says to live carefully, you need to walk in wisdom. Verse 15. He says, don't be foolish, but walk in wisdom. If you're a child of God, then you have access to the wisdom of Christ. When you make Jesus your Lord and obey Him, wisdom starts in your life and leads in your life when you have the wisest of the wisest. Someone said that ordinary wisdom is being smart enough to know what to do next. But godly wisdom is being smart enough to know what God wants you to do next. Now, when you think about a wise person, what does a wise person look like to you? When you think of somebody who's wise, what do you think of? What comes in your mind? That person is wise. Do things like that they know what to do and say in situations. They manage their life well. They are careful. Are things like that come to your mind? And many other things. James says, if you don't have wisdom, if you need wisdom, ask God. And He will give you wisdom. In the Australian version, He'll give you buckets of wisdom. So we need to walk wisely in our job, in our marriage, in the way we deal with our kids, in the way we treat each other, in the way we live life with other people. Boy, we need wisdom. Boy, we need to be wise. Of the words that sometimes we say, of the actions, my words, I have to be so careful that I don't cut people, I don't hurt people, I don't display arrogance and pride and whatever. That I need to walk in wisdom in the way I model my life in front of my kids, what I do with my time, what I do with things. Boy, I need to be wise. Don't we? Paul says, walk in wisdom. That's how to be careful. Number two, to live carefully, he says, you need to redeem the time. Verse 16, redeem the time. You want to live carefully? You need to redeem your time. Today, men and women are so busy and overcommitted. You can't believe how busy we all have become. Someone said, busyness is not of the devil. It is the devil. So say hi to busyness. Friends, God has given us 24 hours. We need to be wise, and two, we need to know how to redeem it. Now, why should we redeem it? Why?
Mate, fair income. I mean, it's my time. I can do whatever I like.
Well, Paul says, the Bible says, according to Paul, that the days are evil. That's why you need to redeem it. The days of life in general are so exposed to evil. You need to use it to the best of your ability. Now that you have opportunity to share Christ, to love people, to serve people, to be good at your job, to be good in your marriage. Now is the time. Redeem it. Now it's the time to love. Now it's the time to share. Now it's the time to care. Redeem the time. Don't waste it. Take every opportunity, he says. Redeem the time. And do the will of God. And Arabian Proverbs says, four things do not come back. The sped arrow, the spoken word, time passed, and neglected opportunities. Friends, we need to redeem the time. We don't know how much health we will have. We don't know how much time I have. Now I need to do what God wants me to do and be all that He wants me to be. We also need to redeem the time because of the brevity of life, James says. He says, what is your life? It is but a vapor. It appears for a moment and it's gone. Our life is a vapor. I mean, I can't believe it. It started with Ange about 6-8 years ago or so. And look at his hair. It's become so much more gray. But he still looks good. Time is going. Can't believe how fast it goes. He says, redeem it. Redeem it. He says, give me a heart of wisdom in Psalms to number my days, to know what to do with it. Friends, we need to redeem the time. The person who redeems the time is one who makes the most of it and uses it well. The one who does not waste it but benefits from every opportunity to serve God, to love others, to do your responsibilities in the sphere of influence that you're in. It's to wake up. It's not to be asleep. Three, to live carefully, Paul says, you need to understand the will of the Lord. Verse 17. To live carefully, you need to understand the will of the Lord. He says, know the will of the Lord. Know the will of God. What? Does that mean? Is that right? Yeah. You've got to know what God wants from your life. What has He called you for? What purpose He's made you? You've done the purpose-driven life. It's a wonderful thing. I'm writing a book called The Purpose-Driven Wife. I'm driving my wife purposefully. God wants to drive our life purposefully. Purposefully. He says, understand the will of the Lord. Paul is wanting believers to know that God, what God requires of them to do, to understand His will and purpose for their life. And you know, we can do that. We can know God's will by going to the Word of God. It says everything there that we need to know. We can know God's will through prayer as we seek Him and take time. Say, God, what do you want me to do as a husband? Don't be a man without direction, without purpose. God has a purpose and responsibility for each one of us. Don't be a woman without purpose and direction. Ask God. Three, advice. You can ask advice from godly leaders, godly men and women in the church that you know. Tell them. Find out what your talents, what your gifts are. That's what God has geared you for. God hasn't wasted all this time shaping you and forming you for nothing. He's made you for something. Circumstances we face are another thing that help us to know what God's will, and also with a sense of inner peace that agrees with us or disagrees with us in what we should do or not. Finally, number four, to live carefully, you need to be filled with the Spirit. Paul says, live carefully. And to live carefully, verse 18, you need to be filled with the Spirit. Paul here commands believers to be filled with the Spirit. He says, don't be drunk with the spirit of this world. And aren't we tempted to be drunk with the spirit of this world and their value system and their mindset? It's like when Jesus said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." And to be drunk with the spirit of this world is to be mindful of the things of this world, to be under the influence of this world. And Paul's saying, be filled with the Spirit and be under my spirit. Be under my direction. Be under my heart and my motivation. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, what does it mean again? It is to be led, to be controlled by. So that everything we think and do is influenced and controlled by Him. It's not just having the Holy Spirit, but it's the Holy Spirit having you. And boy, we need Him to have us. We need to surrender and give Him ourselves. And you know what? You can be filled with the Holy Spirit every day if you will come to Him and ask Him to fill you. If you surrender to Him, if you ask for forgiveness of those things that entangle you, if you confess those sins, if you obey Him, He will fill you and continually fill you to overflow. And you'll be able to really shine the light of Christ through you. And you know, the evidence that you're filled with the Spirit, Paul goes on to say in verse 19, is that you will be filled with praise to God, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Also, he says, to be filled with the Spirit, evidence of that is that you will abound in thanksgiving. In verse 20, giving thanks always to God. Show me somebody who's filled with the Spirit is somebody who has praises on his lips for God. Someone who's thankful to God and thankful to others in their lives. Person of thankfulness. Boy, we need to be filled with praises and thankfulness. And he goes on to say also, someone who's filled with the Spirit, someone with submission, in verse 21, submitting to one another, submit to God. Someone who's filled with the Spirit is someone who submits to God and submits to leadership and allows others to teach him. He says, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit so that you might live carefully. Friends, I need to wake up. You need to wake up more. Can't we wake up more? Boy, we do. We do. And I think the Lord is saying to us all, wake up. Wake up a bit more. I know you're awake, but some of you need to be woken even more. And others, you're not awake. You need to be awake from the condition you're in that gets you nowhere, that makes you unfruitful, that makes you unproductive, that makes you not joyful, nor peaceful, nor loving. He says, wake up out of that condition and live carefully. Live carefully. Be wise. Redeem your time. Be filled with the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's spend a minute and just ask God to do that in our life. We just want you to respond to God as you just spend a minute in prayer. Let's talk back to our God, our Daddy God. Let's get right with Him where we need to. Let's recommit where we need to. Let's do that now. Don't believe the lies that says to you, don't do anything about it. Resist any lies. By faith, pray and commit your way to God. Push through in the name of Jesus. You can be free from those things that tangle you, from the grave clothes. Just say, I refuse those things that entangle me today. Right now, renounce them. Confess them to the Lord. And let Him fill you with His Spirit afresh. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence. And thank you for your word. It is so wonderful to our heart, Lord. Oh, Father, we just want to keep growing on this journey. Keep helping us, oh Lord. Keep filling us with your Spirit. Fill us afresh this morning. Fill each one of us afresh this morning, Lord. Lord, blow upon us with your Holy Spirit and fill us afresh. Fill us afresh. Fill us afresh, Lord, to overflow. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.